Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Well, York County Councilman Robert Winkler is with us today. He represents the western part of the county, District Number 3, a job he's had for 5 years, and this is the first presidential year that you haven't been up for a re-election. How about that, huh?
I know, it's nice.
You're on the four-year staggered term, and this time you don't have to go up, right?
That's right. I've got a couple more years before we have to worry about that. So.
One of the smartest things, I know it took a long time to get in place, but the four-year staggered terms was something long overdue for York County.
I agree. I mean, you know, we talked about it before, and you know, before they started that, all seven council members were up every 2 years. Mm. And I almost had it a few years back before I got on council that you know, you could have seven brand new people. I have no idea what they're doing if they all got unseated at one time. Now, some might say that's a good thing, but.
Well, there was one election where I think we put five brand new people in there at one time, and that's too much of a learning curve when you got a business as big as York County.
It is, and to be running every other year, I mean, you're almost always in campaign mode. I mean, unfortunately, that's you know the nature of the beast. If you're an elected official, you got to campaign. So.
All righty. Now, you know, we were talking before we went on the air. With all the issues that you all have to deal with, and we're going to talk about some of these in a minute, has the time come for, I don't know whether it's York County or the delegation or whoever is, to think about the possibility of instead of having seven districts, that we have maybe five districts and two at-large candidates so that we start thinking about the county as a whole rather than as our little tiny district?
I like that idea in a lot of ways. There are, you know, some counties where the chair is elected at large instead of being elected by the council members. So there's different versions. I think those were selected back when home rule first went in place and each county figured out how they were going to rule themselves. And so I believe it would take a delegation, Columbia delegation change to do that, but I'm not positive on that. But we do have a tendency sometimes to think about our district more than we do the county as a whole, I believe, in occasion. So.
Well, and I understand that. I mean, you're in Western York County. The people in Western York County are looking for X, Y, and Z, yes. And not A, B, and C.
And they're the ones that vote for us and reelect us.
That's exactly right. The rest of the county does not.
So.
But without the at-large representation, you lose track of the fact that old saying, you know, a rising tide raises all ships. And so that something that happens in one part of the county that doesn't benefit at all, that doesn't have a direct tie-in with another part of the county, could impact a better quality of life and everything.
It could. We all, you know, we have to keep in mind that our constituents are the ones that elected us, but we're still county council members, right. And we need to try to look at the county as a whole as much as we can. But I like the idea of an at-large or two in the mix. I'm not sure. I said, how you do that or what you do with it, but we've talked about it as a council before that, you know, that there's a little too much of, you know, well, that doesn't affect my district or not in my district goes on between us sometimes.
Well, maybe somebody needs to start beating that drum. I nominate myself. So speaking of that, where are you as far as a county manager, a permanent county manager? David Hudsmith is your interim, is doing a fine job, but what about a permanent?
We have this coming Monday and Tuesday evening, we have interviews set up for some candidates to start the process. We had an outside firm that was doing the searching for us, and they've brought some names to us. And as a council, we've lined up, I believe, six to start with for now, to start interviews on Monday and Tuesday evening.
So you, is this like the final six? You're supposed to pick one from the six?
Not necessarily. This is just our first go-around of starting to interview some of the ones they've brought us.
Well, you're not pushing yourself for any timetable on this, are you?
No. David Huspeth's doing a wonderful job as interim, and we want to take our time and make sure that you know, when we make a decision, it's the right one.
And I'm sure he's one of the...
We're not going to drag it on forever, but we don't want to make a quick decision and be the wrong ones.
And I'm sure he's one of the candidates.
I believe I can confirm that.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, so you, as you said when you came in here today, you know, we're really not a whole lot going on.
No, it's kind of slow in the county.
Well, okay.
Not sure what we're going to find to fill all this time.
Oh, you watch. Where do you want to start? I'll let you start with a P or a T. Pick up your pick your choice.
Either one. We're going to cover both of them before it's over with.
All right, let's take the T.
Okay.
Which, of course, is the request by the city of Rock Hill to modify the existing TIF district agreements with the county and with the school district, although the school district, I think, has said okay. And it, as I see this, nobody ever thought that there would be $500 million worth of construction going on in downtown Rock Hill all at one time. I mean, who would have ever thought that?
Yeah.
But it's here. We see the new indoor sports arena is open, and there are literally thousands of people going there. Little sidebar, Robert, the weekend before, on my way out of early church, I stopped by there with my wife just to see what was going on. That's an 800-car parking garage.
Yes.
I got the last slot. I walked in there. I could not believe it. I'll show you the video during the break. It's just what they said would happen has happened. I mean, the tournaments are there. The people are there. They're spending money, all that kind of stuff. Well, you know there's like seven or eight projects either coming out of the ground now or will be coming out of the ground in the next 6 months. So the city needs some more whatever cap authority or bonding authority or whatever to take care of streets and water and sewer and all that kind of stuff. So they've come back to you and said, number one, if I understand this right, can we combine the two existing downtown TIF districts? So we're dealing with one rather than the two. And can we raise the cap up to $80 or $85 million or something of money that we can spend on infrastructure? Where are we with that?
I believe most of the council has no issue with combining the two districts. That makes sense. As far as raising the cap, what they've said is they've spent about $60 million on infrastructure and stuff, but they want the cap removed. Basically, they plan on spending, they're telling us, about $85 million, but they're not asking us to raise the cap to $85 million. They've just asked us to approve removing the cap, so they can spend what they need.
So they don't need your approval as far as a cap, I mean, what they would spend?
If we just remove the cap, then no, they would be able to spend anything. If we raise the cap to a set dollar amount, then that would be the most they could do. And they've told us what they have that they think they're going to need to spend. But my understanding of the request, at least as it was presented to me when they came to the Economic Development Committee, was to remove the cap. So they said, you know, they're asking for the removal, and this is what they think they're going to spend. But it wasn't a please, you know, increase our cap to X dollars or anything like that. So
where does that leave you? I mean, sounds like you want to keep the cap in place with us with a number.
I'm not sure it's a good idea to give any government entity an unlimited credit limit. Look at what our federal government's doing with the deficit right now. So,
well, there's a big difference. So we have to balance our books every year. Yeah. The Fed doesn't have to do that.
They just print more money.
They just print more money.
But we're looking at county management is looking at, they've been negotiating back and forth, a lot of behind the scenes that we can't talk about specifics, but with the city, at trying to find a way that they believe they can get at least a majority of council to support something on that. Now, whether or not it's not on tomorrow night, no, tonight's vote. So, you know, I don't know what that'll be yet, but I know they've been back and forth on what the county's asking for the city to do for them to recommend us approving it and stuff. So as far as some different auditing standards and different things like that. And
Of course, the big thing is that they're not asking for an extension of when the TIF district will expire.
Correct.
So it's going to it's still going to expire, whatever that year is, 2039 or something like that.
There are some of us, and I'm one of the ones that's raised the question, though, if they, you know, they told us when I first got on council and I was part of the committee to negotiate the TIF extension with them, you know, that they needed a certain number of years to issue these bonds, and that's why they needed the extension about 5 years ago. Well, now we're 5 years later, and we're issuing new bonds. So there's some concern there that, yeah, they're not asking for it now, but in 3 or 4 years from now, or after this is approved, are they going to come back to council again and say, okay, well, now we got all this extra money that we're bonding out. We need a few more years to be able to pay it off. And remember, this TIF is 51 years in the making when it matures in 2039. After we extended it last time. That's a 51-year TIF. That's not the way TIFs were designed to be done. So,
well, and again, I go back to my original point, which is nobody, not the county, not the city, not anybody, ever anticipated there would be this massive construction boom in the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And to our earlier discussion about, you know, some at-large representation on council, this is good for everybody. I mean, it's more revenue for everybody, correct?
Yes and no. It's more revenue for the city as long as the TIF is in place. The county collects no more revenue until the TIF ends.
Right.
So the county gets no more revenue now until 2039.
Right.
If it gets extended again in a few years or whatever, then that's further out. The county is still collecting the same revenue that the county was collecting when the TIF was put in place in the 80s.
But you can, I mean, that's a future discussion. I mean, if you say 2039 is 2039, somewhere down the line when you're maybe not on council and somebody's a different mayor or whatever, they can come with their hat in the hand and say we need some more time.
Right.
They'll be up to that council, right?
Yes.
Right.
But that's part of the concern that we're just trying to look at to make sure we're looking at everything before we make a decision, that we're being the best stewards we can with the taxpayers' dollars.
So when do you think this, will be resolved?
Honestly, I thought we would have a first voting on it tonight at this council meeting, so I would expect the next one we would have our first reading on.
Which will be what, early February?
First Monday in February.
First Monday in February. Okay. So the TIF is moving along.
Yes.
And it looks like it's going to be...
Some recommendation from management, I believe, to approve something. So with some caveats that they're working out right now between county management and city management, but... I believe our county management will recommend us to approve.
Okay. Now, do you want to pick the next topic, or do you want me to pick it? I mean, I don't want to be just...
Sooner or later, we got to talk about those Carolina Panthers. So.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
I know you're not going to ignore them.
No. But I'm going to take an early mid-program break so that we don't have to interrupt our very important discussion with commercials. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, now, Robert, even you in Western York County know exactly what I'm about to do. We prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, mm-hmm. And the magical way we do it is right here in the white letters, and you all can join in and say it together with me. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Slice.
Garden. Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there is only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company that 4 out of 5 insurance adjusters or agents surveyed said they would use Paul Davis to work on their own homes. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140. It is better to know Paul Davis Restoration and not need us than to need Paul Davis and not know us. 329-1140.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend Amp. Dividend AMP is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend AMP today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend AMP transfers. Log into Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA.
Does your business need to stay better connected with your customers? With Comporium's hosted voice over IP, your staff can have one business number for all their mobile devices and direct voicemails to email, both making it easier to stay better connected with clients. And these are just two of many features which improve efficiency and productivity. Keep your business growing and stay better connected to your customers. Call Comporium Business Services and learn more about voice over IP or go online to Comporium.com.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Your county councilman, Robert Winkler is with us today. He's in Council District Number 3, which is the western part of the county. And Robert insisted, I wasn't going to bring this up, but Robert insisted that we talk about this Carolina Panthers. All right. So it's no secret, the Carolina Panthers have designated a nice piece of property right along the interstate that they want to bring their team headquarters and practice facilities to. That announcement was made in grand fanfare down here at Knowledge Park back in the spring. And ever since then, everybody's been working out all the details, and I can imagine there are thousands of details. This is a big, big, big project. In fact, it's so big, we've never seen anything like it in the past, correct?
Yes and no.
Yes and no? I mean, how many people have come and said we're going to invest at least $1 billion here or maybe another billion? I mean, that has that potential.
It has the potential. Where the county has struggled with this all along is they've asked for a fee in lieu of. And they said originally they were going to commit to $400 million in the initial investment. $400 million gets them what we call a super fee, according to the state guidelines.
Right.
And so we made an offer to them that was for a fee in lieu of that's larger than we've given anybody else in the county ever, larger than Lash LPL, which was, you know, a couple hundred million, larger than we just did with another business here that did $400 million for them. The difference is we keep hearing from the Panthers that there's plans for more. Originally, there was plans of almost $1 billion being spent there. Now, I went and met with some of them recently with a couple of council members, so we didn't have a quorum and have anything illegal going on. They were talking $2 billion possibly. So it's huge numbers. But the way fee and lieu ofs are designed to work is companies give commitments on what they're going to do, then the county uses those commitments and state guidelines to give fees, discounts.
Right.
The commitment is $400 million. The potential now is $2 billion. And they're asking for fee in lieu of on $2 billion, but the commitment is $400 million. So that's where we're having to work back and forth some on some things.
So people understand, nobody gets anything until something is built out there, correct?
Right now, I think it's somewhere less than $1,000 in agriculture tax.
$660, yes. As Senator Clymer said here yesterday. That's all that's coming in.
Right.
So whatever comes out of the project, whether it be $400 million worth of buildings and what have you, versus $1 billion or $2 billion, that's all brand new money to the schools and to the county and to the city, correct?
Again, yes and no, because the city and the school district have, and the county have agreed to credit some of that brand new money back to help pay for the infrastructure.
In fact, I think the number is 65%.
For the school district.
For the school district. And that's what is also being asked from the county.
Well, actually, I take that back. It's 100% from the city, 75% from the school district, and 65% from the county.
Okay.
For and that was agreed on.
What they call horizontal infrastructure.
Yes.
Water, sewer, sidewalks, yes. That kind of stuff.
Yes.
All right. So is that part of the request? Meeting with agreement?
For the most part, a majority of council agreed to do that. The problem is, within a day or so after the council agreed to do that, the request changed again. And the request came back, well, 65% is good, but we need it front-loaded so that it's 90% up front, then it decreases over time to where the average is 65%.
So take more money up front.
Yeah. Okay. So the ball keeps moving is the issue we have.
All right, so let me go back and be the devil's advocate. Right now we're getting nothing.
Right.
Nothing out of that piece of property.
Right.
So even if it were 90% at the front end, that's still 10% of something that you didn't have before,
mm-hmm.
correct?
It is.
And if the agreement says that the average is 65% and the city's going to back it all up anyway, I don't want, because we got nothing out there now. Nothing.
I agree. I think it could be a huge thing for the city and for the county. I think it could be the biggest thing to happen ever in the county. But, again, as elected officials who are elected to represent the best interests of the taxpayers, we have to make sure that it makes sense for what we do. We can't just give away the entire county to get it to come. It's called negotiating.
That I understand, and I do not work for the Carolina Panthers, even though I'm proud to carry their games on Interstate 107.
Yep.
But with that said, you use the phrase give away the entire store to the county. I mean, give the county entirely away to the Panthers. I don't understand that because you got nothing out there now. You're not giving away anything except what you anticipate coming in, and that's all brand new money. 10% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
It depends on how much that 10% costs us in extra traffic. Most of that's going to be in the city. But, you know, leaving sporting events or music events, a lot of times there are a few more traffic accidents or DUIs, unfortunately, in county areas. You know, that costs. That's more cost to the county on that type thing. So we have to make sure that we look out for the taxpayers on that and that whatever we collect off of this at least covers some of the costs to us on it. It's a big deal, and yes, 10% is of that is more than what we're collecting now, but if it costs us 20% of that to cover the unrelated or related expenses that may come that nobody thought about, we got to make sure we look at all those options.
Well, now, of course, the Panthers are putting something into this as well, right? Yes, they are.
Well, they're putting the building into it. They're not putting in the infrastructure.
Okay. But roads and what have you, they're going to have a role in all. I mean, you've seen the presentations that I have seen.
Several of them, yes.
I mean, my Lord, you can't say they haven't done their due diligence. They've looked at traffic. They've looked at intersections. They've looked at this. They've looked at that. I mean, they really, I think when I saw the presentation, which was the same one, the same night that the neighborhood, the Hutchison Estates neighborhood, was called in, they mentioned that they've had a team of over 100 people working on this since the 1st of January of 2019.
I believe it.
And this was late summer, I think, when we saw this presentation. Mm-hmm. So I was impressed with what they've done.
It's very impressive, and it, as I say, it could be a huge, biggest thing ever for the county.
Well, in fact, I don't think it's an overblown characterization to call this a generational change for York County.
Very potentially, yes.
Well, and since there's only 32 teams for the NFL in the entire U.S. of A, to be the home for one of them obviously means we got to bend over a little bit more to make this thing happen, don't you think?
And we have.
Okay.
We have, as I said, agreed to way more than we have ever agreed to in anything else.
So what was
and it's still being negotiated.
All right, I got you. And when do you think this thing is going to don't know, get before the council to see where what's going on the agenda. Let me put it that way.
I believe they want a first reading in February, and we're working hard to try to get the final little details worked out to get that done. So.
Okay. It takes four votes to make this happen.
Yes.
I would love to see seven, but I think that's probably unrealistic.
That doesn't happen with us much anymore.
I'm trying to remember what the last 7-0 vote was. There was something that recently where you all voted 7-0. Maybe it was to put David Husbeth in as the interim manager. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know. So at this point, do you see enough votes there to get this thing through?
It's very close. There was enough votes to agree to the 65% that we did. But again, the ball's moved a little bit on that 65%, and I'm honestly not sure there's four votes to do any more than what the council agreed on last time. So
basically what you're saying is if the deal would stay or stabilize at 65%, you think it would pass?
It passed on the last vote, so when I say it passed, it wasn't a
official vote
for a resolution or anything. It was just they came to us asking about this, and we voted as a council and directed management to say yes, we'll go to that point.
Okay, you're a reasonable guy. I've known you for a number of years. I like the way you think. Where can you tell me where you are personally on this right now?
I have said several times I voted for the 65%. And I will stand by that vote, depending on what else is asked and where else the ball moves between now and when we finally get to vote on something as far as the actual resolution. I can't tell you where I'll stand. It depends on what the final request is and where the ball moves to. I supported the 65% from the county. I'll still stand behind that. I'm a man of my word. That's what I said I would do. I'll do that. But, you know, something different above and beyond, I don't know till I see what it is.
So what happens between now and the first reading? Are there more sit-downs and discussions with everybody involved?
I believe county management, David Husbeth, our Kevin Madden, our financial officer, Panthers representatives, city representatives meet weekly, sometimes on the phone two or three times a week, I think, right, trying to iron out these last few details. To keep from having all of us in the mix of it and too many people in it, Michael Johnson's been the one from the council that has sat in on most of those, just because we asked for one to be there, because it got to be kind of what you were talking about earlier, we were talking about earlier. Council members felt left out because I was a part of it for a while because I chair the council's economic development committee. But then other council members were like, well, I don't know what's going on. I'll need to be a part of it. We can't all be a part of all of them or else it's a council meeting.
Sure.
So we said, okay, Michael Johnson, you're the chair. You be the one to sit in on all the meetings. So there is a lot of ongoing discussions and meetings and negotiations going on. We're trying to make it work. I believe all of us, all seven of us, believe it is a big deal.
And we would have a tremendous big egg in our face if it doesn't happen. And I hate to think what the governor of the state of South Carolina might do to punish your county, because he's put all his marbles on the line for this thing, as has the delegation.
The last meeting I was in, Gary Sumrall was in there, and we talked some about it. Yeah. So.
All right, Robert Winkler, thank you for being here. Thanks for a very honest discussion about a couple of significant issues. I think there is some stuff going on in your county.
A little bit.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. All right, ladies, you got a chance now to redeem yourselves. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week right here at Substation 2. How do we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right. That's the way it should be. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.